Lecture 30, Southeast Asian Civilizations.
This 30th lecture is the culmination of Part 5 of this course, and it ends, Part 5, with a description of the spectacular Khmer states of Southeast Asia. By now you're probably tired of me murmuring the word interconnectedness and interaction, but this really is the final piece in this complex jigsaw puzzle of these interconnections between Han China in the east and the Indian Ocean in the west. And in this lecture we fill this last little hole, that of Southeast Asia. In the first part of the lecture, I'm going to trace the origins of Southeast Asian civilization from its indigenous roots, which means we're going to go back in time to the first domestication of rice. And then we're going to assess the influence of outsiders, Chinese and Indian visitors and traders and diplomats, on the formation of states in this region. Another important theme in this lecture is the rise of divine kingship, which emerged from Indian roots. It was imported into this region. And as a result of this, over the centuries, the unique centripetal Khmer civilization developed in the late first millennium AD. We'll visit some spectacular sites in this lecture, especially Angkor Wat and Angkor Thom, the two great royal monuments built by Khmer kings. If you visit these, the scale of them beggars your imagination. They make the Temple of Amun at Karnak, at Luxor, look like a village. They make the Parthenon look like a house. They cover an enormous area, and they were built to the glory of rulers. Then finally, we'll analyze the weaknesses of Khmer civilization, characterizing it as a circle, where the strong century center preserved the boundaries, whereas a weak ruler at the center would lose possessions at the edges. As we saw in Lecture 17, rice was the staple crop for much of Southeast Asia. There were three major river systems in Southeast Asia that were fertile enclaves, which each year flooded their floodplains with shallow water, where long-stalked, fast-maturing rice could be grown. The three rivers were the Middle Thailand and Chao Phraya Delta, the Mekong and Tonle Sap Plains, and the Red River and other plains of Vietnam. Each nurtured complex societies for many centuries because this very fertile agricultural environment could generate large food surpluses. At the same time, these major rivers acted as major communication arteries and, of course, as terminuses for trade routes, bringing all sorts of materials into these areas. What you've got is something that in a way reminds me a little bit of the Eastern Mediterranean. You've got inland trade and you have the ocean, and it was these rivers that were the link between the outside world and the inner world of Southeast Asia. The archaeology of this vast area is still little known. For years, it has been on the peripheries of world prehistory, and it's only in the last 10 years or so that the pace of archaeological investigation has picked up, partly in response to the rapid deterioration of many of the Khmer monuments, and also because archaeologists have begun to realize that there are many lessons we can learn about pre-industrial states where the archaeological evidence from the Khmer civilization is particularly useful and particularly detailed, especially when you start correlating the archaeological record with historic information. In this lecture, I'm going to focus on the Mekong and the Tonle Sap, because this was really the core of Khmer civilization and is where the most spectacular sites lie.